O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and the infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foes and the avengers. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with the glory and honour. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the path of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Thanks be to God.
John 14:15-26. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you.
Morning. I don't know if you realise it's actually Trinity Sunday today. And the Trinity is a huge subject. I've got a difficult judge here. Eileen did it as a thesis when she was at college, so she's probably marking me out of 10 for what I have and what I don't say. But I should be looking at just three aspects this morning, which is quite appropriate, really. What is the Trinity? What does the Bible tell us? And what difference does it make in our own lives? Trinity Sunday commemorates a reality and a doctrine that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three persons in one, rather than a single person or event. And it's appropriately on the Sunday after Pentecost, and it lasts just one day, also symbolic of the unity of the Trinity. The Trinity has not been and is not without a lot of controversy. It's described as a mystery, which really means that it's beyond our human understanding. And there's opposition to the Trinity from the monistic faiths of the Jews and Muslims. And they'll quote various texts back. And the Jews will often quote Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Muslims will quote from the Quran. He is God, the one and only God, the eternal absolute. He begetteth not, nor is he begotten. And there's none like him. It is argued that there is mention of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the Bible, but there's no specific mention of the word Trinity or three in one. The concept of the Trinity developed in the early church, and the first recorded use of the word is about in the end of the second century. But it was still, there were other thoughts as well, and there were other suggestions. And one of the most famous one is a thing called Arianism by a chap called Arius. And he taught that Jesus was a created being rather than God. And in response to this, the church fathers convened a gathering and a council at Nicaea. And from that, we got the Nicene Creed, which we were saying later. It wasn't really picked up as a feast very much anywhere. And in fact, it was Thomas à Becket, the famous Archbishop of Canterbury, who got killed on his altar steps a bit later on. But in 1162, he got permission to have a feast day for Trinity, and it was on the day after Pentecost, week after Pentecost. But it wasn't, the Pope didn't ordain the idea of having a feast for Trinity for another 180 years. Now, there are a number of Christian sects who reject the Trinity. They include the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's a church who meet in a parish hall called the Inglesio Ni Cristo, the Filipino group. There are some Pentecostals, some Messianic groups, some who've come from a very much Jewish background, Judaism beliefs. But to be honest, there are some groups, some individuals, who struggle intellectually to accept that the concept of three and separate elements being one and of equal importance. And to help this, a range of images have been used to help explain it. And a recent one used by the Pope, I don't know if you've seen these little things which children use these days. You spin it like this and it just goes round like that and it goes forever. And it seems to give a nice image, like it's three in one. Other people have used the clover leaf, ice, water and steam, three musical notes making a chord, and or ecliptical rings. But there's always a temptation that all the people are trying to do is to manage and contain God. If we could, God would cease to be God, and because he's always beyond our capacity of our human minds. And Rowan Williams said, "We can, but let God be God." So belief in the Trinity is a key element in the Christian faith. And it's one we need to examine and not shy away from. Emma's husband, when he was a curate in Burton, he found that the vicar there had managed for 20 years never to preach on Trinity Sunday. He used his curates or visiting clergy to do it because he just couldn't get his head round it. But what evidence have we got of the three strands of God in the Bible? Well, there's actually plenty, and you could spend a week going through it. One of the most famous ones starts at the very beginning, and it's in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. You may remember that when God visited Abraham to give him the promise about Sarah having a baby, there were two other visitors as well. We don't know who they are, but the suggestion is that one was the Father and one was the Holy Spirit. They're not referred to again. We've had this, the Bible is full of great songs of praise, what God's created. The first reading was one of the lectionary readings. It's a great song of praise to God for what he's created. And if you might remember that Jesus' final words before the ascension to his disciples was, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Beginning of John's Gospel, we have, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And a bit later in that chapter, opening chapter, it says, "The Word became flesh," meaning referring to Jesus. Jesus said lots of things, and we had some this morning in the reading. He said, "As before Abraham was born, I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one." And in the reading, this morning's reading, he said, "I am the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." In our second reading, also it says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." And he says, The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Thomas, after crucifixion in the upper room, said, My Lord and my God. Paul wrote, You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. At the end of 2 Corinthians, he wrote, May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be of you all. At the opening of Peter's letter, it says, To God's elect, chosen according to his foreknowledge of the God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and his blood. Fine, but what difference does it make to you and me? Quite a lot, I would suggest, a huge amount. You know, Jesus came to bring a new covenant so that by grace and through the Spirit, we'd have a personal relationship with God who is not distant or abstract, but a God who is very tangible and real, a God who we can sense his presence and hear his words in the quietness of our heart and when we read his word, a God who brings meaning and purpose to life. We get an extra richness just seeing the beauty of his creation because we are knowing where it's come from. It is from the Holy Spirit that it all comes together. And it's worth reading Romans 8 because it's a great guide. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You have received the Spirit of sonship. Now if we are children of God, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Now that's pretty powerful stuff. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us. And we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him. We are more than conquerors, as nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, it's nice to think that if you give secure love to your children, they will grow and flourish and develop. And it really brings a tear to our eye when you see your children growing and developing. And sometimes they will achieve far more than you've ever imagined. And I think that is the same for God. I'm sure he has a great smile on his face when he sees his children achieving spiritually more than what they ever dreamed of. I think that's wonderful. You know, here we are at St. Andrew's. You know, unlike a lot of churches, we are very blessed because people do share testimonies of what's going on in their lives. People do it in the home groups. They tell what's going on. It's being real. You know, we hear how God has answered prayer. We hear how God has provided. And I've shared in the past here how God provided so much in the reordering of this building, beyond what our human logic and understanding was. I know we've had the days of prayer, and people have shared how much they felt God's presence and how much it's touched them. And that's wonderful. And we've heard how the blessings that have flown when people have learnt how to forgive others that have really hurt them. We know there have been times when, I'm sure you've all had it here, times of supernatural peace, which defies natural logic. And I think perhaps the best one, scientifically for me, was in 2010 when I damaged my eye. You know, I knew I was in trouble, and I just cried out to God. I said, look, I'm in trouble here, God. I need your help. And when I was getting a lift to the hospital, you know, I was thinking, my eyes were going all over the shop, and I was thinking, will I be able to do the job I really want to do? And a bit later on, when I go up to the hospital, the eye section for half my, they said, just take your blood pressure. He said, you look calm, but you're probably paddling like knee underneath there. And she took my blood pressure, and it was less than what it had been for a routine check a year before. She couldn't believe it, nor could I, to be honest with you. But I just felt so much at peace. I knew I was in God's hands, and I didn't need to worry. Whatever happened, he was there. You know, it's when you hear God's words to you, and I've had that, I'm sure you've all had that, it can give you a sense of hope and of a future, and it can give you joy. It can break down those things that we like to just put in our way, that try to eat us, not trying to be that negativism, you know, that pessimism. It's so easy to come. And it's lovely seeing people here who've come on a tremendous spiritual journey. So, you know, beyond what they could imagine. And that's what it's all about. And it's when you see those lives where God is really just pouring out his love, and that you see people who have far more influence than they are they're honestly aware of because of the God presence of the Holy Spirit. There's an expression that some things are greater than the sum of the parts. And God and the Holy Trinity is one of those. Each segment of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is awesome. But together, they are stronger. And our hearts just cry out and praise on it. Just over a week ago, we were in Canterbury Cathedral in the evening. And Guy Emma works alongside, who's perhaps our immediate boss, Chris Russell. He's a vicar down in near Reading. And he shared that the previous week he'd taken a group of young people on a away weekend. And one of them was a young lady who had had very little contact with the church at all, but she was very, very fringe, but she'd come along. And something had really touched her on the Sunday evening. And on the Sunday, he was walking around the field just chatting to her. And he said, "What's it feel about it?" And she said, "Why has nobody told me about it before? Why has nobody told me about this before?" So come, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray that you will touch those on our hearts and help us to share with them the good news. Amen.